Yes, sir, the Honorable Mr. Kalidas will conduct your hearing, just hang on, sir. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can.
Okay, sir.
Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Very good. Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Kenneth Wayne Reed, 108264.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for 31412B parole hearing to consider parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. In the room, we have at the far end of the bench, to my left, the Honorable Mr. David Neal. After him is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. I will begin the hearing with the following summary. Mr. Kenneth Reed is 69 years old. He was certified eligible by DOC for 31412B parole to his next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. He's currently serving a 21-year sentence for armed robbery. If granted parole, he will advance to a final 21-year sentence for armed robbery. Said crimes occurred on or about December 11, 1989. He was approximately 41 years old at the time of the incident offenses. He was convicted by jury trial on July 11, 1997, and was sentenced on August 7, 1997. Mr. Reed has a criminal history dating back to 1986, including a misdemeanor conviction for possession of a short-barreled shotgun and a felony conviction for two counts of aggravated assault in 1994. It should be noted that Mr. Reed's armed robberies represented an escalation in violent crime. According to ADC time computation, he has been parole eligible for his current sentence since June 24, 2017. Does this information sound correct so far, Mr. Reed?
Yes, it does.
Thank you, sir. Well, no, go ahead, sir. We want to get it right.
I have a problem with the representation that these crimes supposedly represent an escalation in crimes because the dates of occurrences, because this one precedes the other conviction, you see. So it's a matter of time order, but it's pretty much irrelevant.
There's a point well taken, sir. Are you referring to the order between the aggravated assault and the armed robbery?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess it's a matter of perspective, but I do respect your input on that. I will now read a summary of the offenses in question. On December 11, 1989, a Loomis armored car office in Yuma, Arizona was held up by two men wearing gloves and ski masks. The robbers escaped with over $1 million in cash and checks and the manager's gun. The gun was found a few days later in Oklahoma at an Oklahoma rest stop. Mr. Reed was not implicated in the robbery until June 1992, when the defendant's then-wife, Mary Reed, reported him to the FBI. It was not until 1996, however, that the federal authorities referred the case to the Maricopa County Attorney's Office for prosecution. And I'll just read that as the short version. Mr. Reed has completed limited programming in ADC, including achieving his GED, and we do commend him for that. This is a hearing to consider parole to his next consecutive sentence. He has no release plan at this time. And again, that's because this is a consecutive sentence hearing. He has a limited history of discipline in ADC from 1994 to 2012, with his last major on April 24, 2008, for any sexual act as an inmate. This is his 10th hearing before the board, at least that's the way I count it. There are no letters of support from family, friends, or communities parole in his parole packet. Mr. Reed, I will ask you, though, once again for verification, did you have any letters of support that were submitted to this board?
Negative. I have no living relatives.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to make sure, because sometimes these letters arrive very late in preparation for a hearing process. Sometimes they arrive late, so we just want to make sure that we're not denying you any support from family or friends if it's out there. It should be noted that Mr. Reed was granted parole to his next consecutive sentence on June 24th, 2003, from a previous conviction for aggravated assault. Mr. Reed, we have new board members since your last parole hearing. This is an opportunity for the board to get to know you. So could you tell us in your own words about the crimes that led to your incarceration?
Well, let me summarize it this way, is that on the date the crimes were committed here in Arizona, I was 1,000 miles away in Texas. End of story.
I'm going to treat you in this process with absolute respect, and you, as your due process is very, very important to us as a quasi-judicial body. But I want to be clear on this. Are you saying that you did not commit this crime?
That is correct.
Thank you, sir. Well, I will ask you, because there were other prior sentences that expired, were you involved with the aggravated assault charges?
Yes.
Okay. Then I'll begin in a positive way, I think in a healthy way, by asking, since you've been in the prison system for a considerable amount of time now, you were granted a past parole to your next consecutive sentence. How have you changed since you've been inside the prison system, dating back to the 1990s?
Well, you know what? I have an address to the board, and I think it will pretty much shorten this proceeding. Of course, you know, one of the most important concerns the board is required to consider, as I would note, the public is relying upon you gentlemen to do, is whether the Arizona Department of Corrections has rehabilitated me and what contributions I myself might have made towards that goal. But as your records before you quite clearly show, I have been, how shall I say, endurance vehicle for more than 25 years. So it is not without a healthy measure of cynicism that I say that if I am not yet rehabilitated, I probably never will be. But each of you should have realized by now the question of my rehabilitation is pretty much irrelevant. I'm 69 years old, soon to be 70. So even if the board were to grant me parole today and process the paperwork tomorrow, I would, on the day after that, be getting my next 21-year consecutive sentence. The reality of the situation is that I'm simply not going to live that long. In fact, the question is not really whether I'm going to live another 21 years, but whether I'm going to make it even another 2 or 3 or 4 years. I'm presently in a life or death struggle with the Arizona Department of Corrections Health Services contractor, Horizon LLC. Nearly 3 years ago, I reported a dietary gastrointestinal problem that medical staff has still not diagnosed and treated. I am literally starving to death. I look like a third world refugee, down 40 pounds from my normal weight of 162. I am below the standard against which the United Nations World Health Organization compares people of the world as having a normal, healthy weight versus being underweight and malnourished. Yes, this is happening in the state of Arizona and in these United States of America. So exactly what might I expect from Arizona's Board of Executive Clemency to do about this situation? Sad reality is that there's nothing you can do. So why did I trouble myself to mention it? Well, my purpose was to impress upon you the pointlessness of my wasting my time and yours trying to convince you that I have been rehabilitated, that I can and will be a useful and productive member of society, and so forth. The bottom line is this. If you do not grant me parole, I'm going to die in prison with a very long, unfinished sentence. And if you do grant me parole, I'm still going to die in prison although with a slightly shorter unfinished sentence. Dead is dead, so it really won't matter one way or another. So, anyway, thank you for hearing me out, and I'll let you move on to your next petitioner, unless, of course, you have any questions.
Well, sir, in a moment I'll ask my fellow board members if they have any questions. I do want to say, and I hear the cynicism in your voice, it does make me question if anything I say at this point forward is going to mean anything to you at all. After all, you're the one inside the prison system, and we're sitting on the bench in the parole board at the state capitol. I don't wish your health problems on anyone. I find that tragic and unfortunate, and frankly a standalone issue. And I do wish you the best in your ongoing struggles to get the health care that you need inside the correction system. But I think this is an interesting hearing, in as much that I find you an intelligent individual. I think what you have to say is compelling about your dilemma, if you will, about these next two sentences, your age and health. And if nothing else, I do appreciate how candid you've been with this board. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Seeing no questions from fellow board members, we're getting close to the end of the hearing. Is there anything else that you would like to share with this board before we go into discussion? This is your hearing, and is there anything else you'd like to share?
No, sir. I thank you very much for letting me have my say.
Thank you, sir. The board's going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you, but is the board having a discussion amongst itself, deliberating, if you will, before we come to our individual and independent votes and make a decision? So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly. Mr. Reed, thank you. And thank you for being so pleasant to this board.
Yes, sir.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I think you heard at least the limited dialogue that I had with Mr. Reed. I do find his predicament tragic. He's fighting health issues. He is facing mortality as he looks at the remainder of either his current sentence or the one that he could possibly be passed to, should this board vote to see that fit. I think the part that I struggle with, in fairness to Mr. Reed, is I want to respect any person that comes before this board, especially when there's that moment when an individual says, hey, I didn't do this crime. I don't know what's in their heart. I don't have a crystal ball. We have reports in front of us. I have to take them at face value as they come into this boardroom from the criminal justice system. But I don't have a comfort with whether or not we have the whole story regarding the armored car robbery and how Mr. Reed came into the custody of the criminal justice system, and I just, at this point, am not comfortable passing him to the next sentence, but I am open to the collective wisdom of my colleagues. Actually, I look forward to it.
I'll just make just a brief statement. I'm not going to disagree with you, sir. I guess one of my concerns is whether Mr. Reed remembers what happened or whether the information that we have. If we look at this court report that's included in here, it states that to the effect, and I'm not reading it now, I'm just going to sum it up my way, that he left and went back east, back to the Midwest to be exact.
Yes, sir.
And he deposited $20,000 in the bank. We don't know where that $20,000 came from, or we don't even know that he deposited, but that's what's in this report. That's what's presented, that he actually deposited that money in the bank while he was there, and he was taking care of his financially helping family members. And maybe he got that money from somewhere else. Maybe he was just gambling and got it, but it just seemed the timing would suggest that something happened as it relates to that that robbery. But we have, as you said, we have no way of knowing. Only he and the people involved would know for sure what happened.
Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman. Mr. Neal?
I agree with you and Dr. Wright on that. I don't think we should move him forward to his next consecutive sentence at this time.
Mr. Johnson?
I agree.
Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. And I'll ask you for your input on the reasons as I move forward. But my motion is to deny parole to his next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge.
Second.
Agreed.
I'm going to ask for 1 year set off.
Agreed.
Release type denied is 412B411. And reasons for denial are as follows. I would say serious and violent offense in the context of an armed robbery and past aggravated assaults. Victims from the string of cases. Just 1 second. Prior criminal history, repeat offender. He hasn't had any discipline in quite some time. We'll see. I'm going to double check on this so that I don't. It would seem that he has limited programming aside from his GED. So I am going to say lack of programming. Double check on this. No release plan at this point, so I don't think it's appropriate because he's not up for one. I will say no family or community support. And is there anything else that fellow board members wish to add?
No, sir, not really.
Therefore, I have made my motion. The motion's been carried. We've asked for 1 year set off. Release type denied is 412B411, and the reasons were serious and violent offense, multiple victims. Prior criminal history, repeat offender, lack of programming, and no family or community support. Mr. Reed?
Yes, sir.
Did you hear our motion and our reasons for denial?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, then we wish you the best. You'll be eligible to appear before this board again in 1 year. In the meantime, I sincerely wish you the best in your pursuit of health care, and thank you for being so pleasant with this board. This concludes our hearing. Thank you, sir.
All righty.